Today, our reading from the Old Testament has a very vivid description of a celebration as David and all of Israel enter Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant. Now, as you may know, the Ark of the Covenant was believed to be the throne or the seat of God by the Hebrew people. And throughout Scripture, the Ark is regarded as a sacred object of great power. So great care was taken and given as the Ark entered Jerusalem after about a 24-mile journey from Baale, Judah, to Jerusalem. And all the people of Israel, according to the Scripture, participated in this entrance into Jerusalem. Now, what is very interesting about this narrative is that it begins and ends by mentioning the participation of all the people of Israel. But in the middle of the passage, there is a tension that is introduced with David's first wife, Michal, who does not participate. Now, Michal and David had a very, very complex relationship, to say the least. However, it's very helpful to understand that sometimes it can help to look at different ways of reading biblical passages. And in this case, we can understand much by looking at this passage as poetry that conveys information about God's relationship with the Hebrew people and how God was enacting something in the nation of Israel. When we view this tension introduced by Michal in a poetic sense, she is representative of a much larger tension that existed before, that was a tension between what existed before and what was new with the Davidic kingdom appointed by God. The leadership in Israel had changed from King Saul to King David, and King David had united the northern and southern parts of the kingdom, Israel and Judah, into one kingdom. So this was a time of change and newness for Israel as they occupy a new city, Jerusalem. So after much difficulty, David brings the ark to the new capital, and his dance is one of joy, one of reverence, and one of complete surrender to God. Through David, God has brought unity to Israel where all people can rejoice. We see this Hebrew word for all throughout this passage repeatedly. It is emphasized also at the ending of the passage when David distributes food in the name of the Lord of hosts. The distribution is to all the people. It's repeated three times. He distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women. Then we see that all the people returned to their homes. This Hebrew word call for all, meaning all or the whole of something, is used in the phrase a whole multitude and the phrase for both men and women. And this poetry's use of both men and women echoes with what we know about creation of humanity being created male and female. And it is a clear indication to us that divisions of class or gender have no place in this distribution of food to all the people. The blessings in the name of the Lord of hosts are poured out on all people, and it constitutes a complete and whole body that has shown honor to God. Rather than depicting class divisions, King David also is a full participant in the celebration and reverence of God, as God institutes a new royal line in their midst. This form of united worship reminds me of an experience that I had last summer in England, when I studied in Canterbury Cathedral with seminarians and clergy from all around the Anglican Communion. Many, and really the majority, of the seminarians and clergy there were from the Global South. We decided one day in the cathedral to have an activity where we held hands and we formed a circle. Then we imagined that God was in the center of our circle. And we wanted to have physical movement and think, what would it feel like to move closer to God in the center? So holding hands, we moved toward the center. And we discovered something amazing. As we imagined moving closer to God, our bodies literally were squished in upon each other, close touching each other like one mass, one body. And then as we stood there in the center, close to each other, we thought, well, what's going to happen if we want to get away from each other? So as we moved apart, or even if one person moved away, it created a ripple effect through the whole group so that we were all distracted from being focused on God. God didn't change, but our attention and our focus was distracted away from God as we moved apart from each other. I learned something very interesting in this experience. I learned that God created humanity to be socially connected to each other. Just as all the house of Israel joined together to praise and to offer thanksgiving to God, our group became closer to each other as we focused on God and tried to let go of distractions. In opposition, however, to this picture of unity and joy is introduced Michal, who represents the status quo, the way things used to be in this poetic account. She is described as the daughter of Saul, the former king, and she gazes through a window with a totally different perspective, a perspective of isolation. In the conclusion of this account that we did not read today, we learn of Michal's actions after her anger is kindled from David's dance in the linen ephod. David has dared to dance amongst those considered to be in the lowest position of their social hierarchy, the slaves of David's servants, the female slaves of David's servants. And this is totally unacceptable to Michal. So as David attempts to return home, Michal meets him outside the door. He doesn't get to enter, and she riles at him with a sarcastic accusation. So this is how the king honors himself today. Before your servants, slaves, you made yourself a vulgar fellow. Her implication with the word vulgar is that he is a worthless person, one who is empty and of not of any value associated to the people that she values. She riled at him because she felt that in her eyes he was associated with commoners. And at this point in the poetry of David's response, we see what God is doing within Israel. As David tells her, he did this for the Lord. And David also tells her how extreme his actions will be in the future. David says to her, I will become even more common and worthless to you. But to these slave women, I will be held in honor. David's words show how God steps in to reverse the old and usher in the new. The separation and division that is represented by Michal is reversed so that David, a king, is lowered and emptied to celebrate with slaves. And this behavior will bring him honor. We live in a world where our relationships with each other may experience brokenness, where our attention may be cast far away from God and cast on other things. But through our Lord Jesus Christ, this can be reversed. We can experience wholeness and be fed just as the whole multitude of Israel was fed, both slave and free, men and women. And we know that Christ emptied himself of all heavenly honor to become one of us. We are called to follow this example of humility described in the song in Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Through taking on human likeness and the form of a slave, Christ inaugurated something new in creation, and we are called to participate. Christ's activity on the world at the cross places us back together, reconciles us to each other, and reconciles us to God. Then, through baptism, we share in Christ's death and participate in Christ's resurrection, so that we become living members of a living Christ. This morning at the 9 o'clock service, the congregation witnessed a baptism, bringing something new into the body of Christ. Christ brings newness into our world, for in baptism we are united with God. The waters of baptism represent the first element of creation, and the Holy Spirit moved over the water to bring life into the world. When we are baptized in water, we are participating in Christ's restoration of a world on a cosmic scale. We are witnessing newness, joy, mystery, and our assurance of eternal life. In our reading today, David blessed all the people in the name of the Lord of hosts, and distributed food to all people, the whole multitude of Israel, men and women. Likewise, we are assured that Christ came to offer reconciliation on a cosmic scale. Therefore, we can give thanks that Christ came not to redeem only a part of us, or not to redeem just one little corner of the world, but Christ came to restore our entire universe to wholeness. As baptized people, we are one body in Christ Jesus. Let us go forth as reconciled people to bring the message of Christ's love to all the world. Alleluia, alleluia.